Hi, everyone. This is the, I have the wrong date here. This is the August 30th meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum. I'm going to ask Beth Von Guten to take the role in the absence of our Paul Martin, who's our secretary, who let us know last week that he would be unavailable for this special meeting. Go ahead, Beth. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick Arena. I don't hear Nick. Chris Corey. I don't hear Chris. Beth Von Guten is present. That's myself. Julie Hewitt.
I am here.
Thank you, Julie. Chris Coffin.
Was that Kim Coffin? Is that?
Yes. Sorry.
Kim,
yes.
Yes. Oh, Chris yes. Corey or Kim Kaufman?
Kim Kaufman.
Yes, I am here.
Thank you. Our Paul Martin has let us know he wouldn't be here today. James McFadden.
Here.
Thank you. Sean Kelly McPherson.
I am.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Here.
Susan Young. Susan Young?
Here.
Thank you. Thank you. Julia Kennard.
Here.
Thank you. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you. Those are our regular members and attenders. Is there anyone else who should be acknowledged? James?
No, not yet. We will have guests later. I want you to go through, though, if you would, please repeat the four people who didn't respond just to see if they've come on.
Okay. From the top, Nick Arena. I just still don't hear Chris, Nick. Chris Corey. I don't hear Chris. R. Paul Martin. Let us know that he wouldn't be here. And I think that's everyone.
Julie? But, Julie Hewitt?
Julie responded. She said that we can do. Julie?
Here.
Hi, okay. Julie.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. Okay. So I believe we have quorum. Now we're going to move on to the adopt agenda. So I will read the agenda. It's begins with number one, convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Number five is minutes for 3 minutes. Number six, introductory review of the numbers in the KPFK budget, 15 minutes. Number seven, set next meeting dates, 15 minutes. Number eight, review of the Pacifica affiliate network budget, 45 minutes, and number nine is adjourned to executive session. Okay, is there any discussion, any additions, subtractions, changes to the agenda?
Move approval.
Hearing none, we'll consider that approved. Thank you all, and we'll go now to the chair's announcements very briefly. Tonight is a special meeting, which by prior agreement will be limited to items concerning budgets. Netta will be gone as of September 30th, 2022. We will discuss setting additional meeting dates until then. The secretary informed us at our last meeting that he could not be here for this recently scheduled special meeting. Non-disclosure agreements and consent to use electronic transmission forms have been approved and are available to NFC non-director members. Please review them and return them to the chair as soon as possible. So far, I think we've only gotten one. And then we will go to executive session after the open session to discuss replacing Netta and possible cuts in Pacifica payroll. This will involve personnel and contractual issues. There are no other new announcements. So that takes us to number five, the minutes. Our Paul is not here. I don't believe there were any minutes. So we'll skip that item, which brings us to number six, which is introductory review of the KPF of the numbers in the KPFK budget. This will be presented by KPFK Treasurer Kim Kaufman. Are you ready, Kim?
I'm ready. Do you want to do? Do you want me to do it, Julia, or you want? I'll do it. You can pop it. Julia and I will both do it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Sure.
That's fun.
Yeah. It's pretty basic. First, line nine is listener support. We basically calculated this on 5 30-day fund drives for the year, plus 2 weeks in December. I mean, the numbers are bad. It's just too many days. But we have thus far had to be in drive every other month at a minimum. So that's to be worked out. We had 100K of major donor income last year, so there's 50,000 in there this year. A little bit of hopefulness. Now, on line 14, I crossed out small donations and wrote in sustainers, because that is on our financials. The sustainers is being put into listener support, and the way we calculated the listener support did not include that. So there's a separate line item for another $132,000, just so we can see it. And then car donations doing about the same, you know, $110,000. And we, $20,000 of, sponsorship income. We've had like $14,000 this year, mostly from music, sponsorship. So, $20,000 seems reasonable if, you know, things continue. So we're looking at 1,102,245. And the personnel costs are just basically, you know, we took what we got this year, we divided it, and we put it in there. I mean, that needs to be adjusted. So that's just, that's a not a real number in there. It's a placeholder. I put in $1,000 for board expenses. If we have an election next year, last year, the local station board is pretty much all that the local stations get billed for. And we maybe had like $1,200 last year. So I don't know how that'll work out, but there's, you know, $1,000 placeholder just so nobody could say, oh, you forgot elections. Administrative expenses, about $200,000. And, what's less? We have finally gotten our phones down to about $1,100 a month from like 10,000. So there's like $13,200 in there. I mean, for 12 years or 11 years, we've had over $100,000. So this is like a miracle, except for the fact that our phones still don't work. And, you know, we're going to need to spend some money to make them work. So there's that. Everything else is pretty much the same. Our legal expenses are down from what they had been last year or so, because they were high for the union negotiations, and that's down. I mean, it's just sort of a placeholder number in there of $12,000, just in case. The rent, lease equipment, we're not paying that, but it's still accruing, just so you all know. Repairs.
We're paying one.
Yeah, what, that one printer?
We're paying one smaller one.
Yeah.
Not the larger one.
Right. So part most of that number, six times three is 18. A little over half of it, you know, we're still accruing. We have the same repairs number as this year, but we know that we have air conditioning issues that we are going to need to do. And this number does not include that. This is just what we spent last year. So we have air conditioning expenses we need and possible plumbing expenses. Let's see. Programming is all pretty much the same. And the development expenses are all pretty much the same. The Allegiance is now on line 131 for the year. It had been going into programming, so it's now on that line. And everything's pretty much just the same. The call center is based on what we've been doing this year and based on what our fund drive schedule is. And that's what it is. Those are our expenses. And the net loss is a whopping $1,117,158. So.
Could you say that number again? It's
$1,117,158.
So $1,117,000 and change.
Yep.
Got it. Thank you.
I'll take questions.
Well, why don't we see if Julia wants to add anything?
The only thing I want to add is just a little bit of an explanation of what we're trying to do tonight, unless, Kim, you want to speak to that so there's no confusion. You know, this is still a work in progress. I think it's a pretty valid picture, which we know is not something that we can accept. So we do have some work in progress that's been going on the past couple of weeks, working on some reductions that we hope to be presenting at the PNB on Thursday. But, you know, we are not asking anyone to vote on this. We just wanted to get it out there, make sure it was seen. And as I told James, you know, it needs to be kind of shoved out there every week as a topic of, you know, what have we accomplished so far in getting out of this hole, but trying to keep the safe station, you know, going as long as we can until we can figure out some way of a turnaround. So that's the goal tonight. Not to say that you can't ask questions, but there will be adjustments to this in the next week or two.
I'd like to make one more point. The central services number is the same as it's been for the last couple of years, and that needs to be recalculated. So that's another, issue that's not formalized. But, you know, all that we can say is that basically the revenue is our best guess, and the expenses other than personnel and central services is what it is. We can't, you know, there are no changes. These are reality-based numbers. So.
Yeah, I'm going to chime in for a second and agree with you about the central services numbers. Kim, you probably know, but you weren't on the committee at the time. We did come up with a new central services formula, but it was never implemented. We need to not only implement that, but we also need to reassess it again because the numbers, especially at KPFK, keep changing dramatically, and it's not fair to keep accruing that. And we maybe eventually we will be able to go back in time and adjust these things in terms of the deficits that the stations are showing. But that's a complicated operation right now, and we're more focused on, you know, survival rather than correcting older records. But that is something we should address.
Well, go ahead.
Add into the stack.
Yeah. Okay. I'll listen to Mac, and then I'll comment again.
let me just ask it, Mac, if would you mind if Kim was going to comment on that subject matter? Let her go ahead and then complete that, and then we'll go to your question, Mac. Is that okay?
That's fine. I just wanted to be on the staff.
Thank you, Mac. So, Kim, go ahead with whatever else you were going to say.
Well, the only thing I really want to point out is the real problem is, you know, is PRA, an immediate sort of problem, and you know, not getting paid. And central services is, I mean, yeah, the national office is a much bigger issue. So that's all I want to say about that. But if you take out all of central services, then, you know, it's kind of, half of the $600,000 deficit. So.
That's right.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Mac, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. I thought the, and it just basically follows, there's two things. One, the central services, I thought, were some percentage of the actual estimated revenue, right? Isn't that the way
right.
we do this?
Correct.
So,
right.
And that, remember, whether it's 15% or whatever it is, ought to be known. And so we ought to be able to just go right into the spreadsheet.
It is. We did change it, and we also added some things to the formula where we made exceptions for certain expenses, like, for example, at KPFK, where they were paying for the air conditioning of the archives, which is really a national expense. So we made some adjustments like that. And, you know, we'll have to revisit it, see if, you know, those things are still considered appropriate.
So what I was going to ask is why those formulas aren't written into the spreadsheet. I mean, why isn't, you know, line 38 a formula in each one of those things?
We just need to get it, pull it together and get it out to everyone. And James, I understand what you're saying, that it needs to, the whole thing needs to be overhauled. But for now, as a holding place, we should just take the percentage, the calculations that we were using it, times the fiscal year 21 year end amount, and use that for now.
Agreed.
Actually, what I'm really asking about is, and I get this with the budgets at KPFA, and I really find it annoying, the whole point of using, you know, so in some numbers, like on line 24, you use a sum, use a formula to calculate the, you know, the total revenue, say. But some of the other lines, they just find that that's not necessarily being used. And so it is in some places and not in others. Like on line 41, they're just numbers plugged in there. So that was kind of my first just comment. It's just nice to see those formulas. You know, if you know how to read spreadsheet, those are helpful.
This is Kim.
Then you don't have to check the numbers when it's just a number written in there. It doesn't have to reflect anything else that's in the spreadsheet. And it's kind of
Kim. Before you go, Kim, I just want to say that because since this was before you were here, we have addressed that in the past, and you know, there is some sentiment to return to using budget templates. You know, that have formulas included in them, which we used to do. We used to have. They fell out of use, and the goal is to reinstate them. Of course, that was one of the medium-range goals of NEDA, but we'll have to make sure on our own now that that happens. But I'll say again, we're still kind of struggling with some day-to-day survival issues.
May I make a comment about that?
Let me go.
Can I finish my... I'm almost done. It was two things. One is.
Oh, I thought you were done. I'm so sorry.
No,
yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
The second was, as I recall, I thought we had passed something that said that we were going to come up with budgets that were within like 10% or something like that. You know, so that, and, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, it seems like we ought to be having some kind of like, the budget for a, you know, future budget, our budget estimate, and that's what it's an estimate. We're not going to follow it exactly, but it has to be somehow. It can't have huge deficits like this, whatever is passed on to the PNB. We just can't go in that way. So I'm just kind of wondering either, you know, what, you know, when we're going to have that discussion, which just means, you know, either, I mean, and looking at it, it just seems like either one, personnel costs are going to go down, which I think was implied by Kim's presentation, or the number of days when you're in has to go up, or something has to give. And probably, since it looks like you're in fundraising mode half the time, it's hard to imagine going any more than that. So, you know, but maybe you could. But in the end, we have to come up with some budget that has to be like within like 10%. You know, we could maybe be, you know, run some deficit, but it can't be a factor of two like this one. And so I'm just like wondering when that discussion is going to happen.
Okay, I'm going to resist the temptation to answer every question right now and go to Kim, who was on the stack, and then we'll go to Julia. And if they don't answer the question, I'll try to give it a shot. Go ahead, Kim.
And it's Susan on the stack.
Okay, let me
hear you.
I want to hear from everybody, but let me just make one point about the central services. That really, in order to have a calculation, we need to get to national office budget, because then we need to – the central services is basically based on a percentage of what national office needs. So we need the NL budget first, and then we work backwards like, okay, so it's $100, we split it this way. So that's the number we don't know right now. Okay, we have a formula, but we don't have a formula of what we're dividing up. That's my point.
Is that really right? Because central services is going to have to adjust too. I mean, the national office will have to wiggle around some, I think, if all
Absolutely. Destinations
go down.
Absolutely. So. This is just a preliminary. This is just, these are the basic numbers here. Yes, we're working on these two or three big issues of listener support, central services, and personnel in order. You know, this is just preliminary, and we can put it inside for a week or two until we have those other numbers to plug in there. So we're not making any final decision tonight.
And we'll see if they get to it, but the local station board has sort of implied that they want to take another whack at it too. They didn't say it very clearly, but this will give them an opportunity if they wish to come up with whatever they can. And Julia, you were trying to say something before.
No, I was just trying to reiterate my comment earlier that this is just a review. This is not, we're not asking anyone to vote on it. We are waiting on some information that Stephanie has been working on with the local staff regarding some cuts. And once we get that finalized, you know, in the next week or so, then we'll be updating this. But the changes that have to occur are going to be dramatic. And so I foresee we've just got to see what the actual impact is going to be based on what we're hoping to have happen in the next week or so. So this will be probably brought up at every meeting, let you know where we are and come together. Because at this point, it's very challenging to cut anything other than staffing. And at the same time, if you cut all the staffing, then you have nowhere one there to do the work. So it is a very challenging time. But our goal is to not do what we've done this past year and continue with a $1 million deficit. We can't do that again this year. So it's
right.
It's going to be a several week process here to get to a final document.
Right. Thank you. And I'll just add a little piece to that. And Susan, you are next. I just wanted to add that to James's point that in the past, if one station at a time was having difficulties, it was okay. Not okay. I don't want to say it was okay, but it was survivable to have one station run a deficit and have it be covered through the national office by other stations and their central services. Now we've got three stations not paying central services. We've got five stations and six of our eight units, maybe even seven now, in deficit for the last month or two. So having deficits going forward is just not, it's not a reality. It's not possible. Because now the whole structure, this is not like a hotel chain where if you've got one that's not doing well, you sell it or you chop it off. It's, but it is true that we are the sum of our parts. And if our parts are all failing, then the whole is going to fail. And that's just not acceptable. We can't let that happen. So, and it probably, it won't happen. Eventually we'll get thrown into some kind of insolvency, and if need be, they'll chop off one of our arms or legs, but we'll still come out standing, maybe on one leg. But, that's something we have to do everything we can to avoid. Now, Susan, you're going to be next, but before you go, I want to ask if there's anybody else who wants to ask a question or speak.
I just have one comment.
Okay, I'm just going to take a stack, Julia. Anybody else?
I know. About timer. This is the time. Remember, this was a 15-minute item.
I know. That's what I'm getting to. Is there anybody else who wants to speak? I have one question myself. If nobody else does, even so, we are past time. So I'm going to ask if we could get a 5-minute extension on this item.
So moved. Beth.
Any objection? None heard. So we'll go for another 5. Okay, Julie, did you want to comment on the subject we were speaking on?
I am on the dang stack, Mr. Chair.
I know, Susan. I just want to see if Julie was trying to chime into that dialogue back and forth that they were having. Is that what you want to comment on, Julia? Or can you wait for Susan?
No, I was trying to make sure that we kept to the time schedule because we have.
Oh, that was the time. Okay. Very good. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, Susan, you're up.
Yes. I will remind us all that we adopted a whole bundle of deficit budgets for 2022. We are having a weekly report on can we make payroll. The situation is dire. I don't know how good or bad it has been in the past when there have been all kinds of cry wolf kinds of things, but what Jim McFadden had said, we have to do something about this, is 100% right. What James just said is 100% right. And we can't wait to be adopting 2023 budgets. We have to take these actions right now. We are in free fall at KPFK right now. So I would hope that the National Finance Committee turns its attention to exactly what Jim McFadden and James Sagerton have pointed out. End.
Thank you, Sharon. Are you done? I mean, Susan.
Yes, I'm done.
Okay. Okay. I had a question, and Kim or Julia can answer this if you can. Effectively, anybody who has an answer would be helpful. I heard the $20,000 in sponsorship income, and I was wondering if you could, just for the edification of everyone, differentiate, if there is a difference, between sponsorship income and underwriting income, and how is that accounted for? Are we accounting for it in a proper way that won't get us into any difficulties? And maybe I would ask to go to Julia first on this to see
You should go to me because I have more of a history of this.
Okay. Fair enough. Go ahead.
I don't know what this underwriting stuff is going to look like. I know, and I've said this multiple times, that I'm not sure of the legal differentiation between sponsorship and underwriting. Basically, we have been doing for several years, our music director has been very good about, first it was banner ads on our website, and then it was like we're a media sponsor. I forget what the wording is, but it's all run by John L. Mala. And that's, when you say, is it done being done correctly? that is the biggest part of what needs to be done correctly, is what goes on the air. So it's being run by, you know, who it needs to be run by in order to be on the air in proper format. And we have a line item for sponsorship, and that's where it goes. So it's all fine as far as I am concerned.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure if John Almella is running it, that it probably is being done properly. Did I hear Beth?
Correct.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Shall I go ahead? Okay. Yes, having been asking for whatever Pacifica's policy is on whatever you call it, underwriting or sponsoring or whatever, since I first got to the LSB 2.5 years ago, only in the last month was I finally provided with a policy that was passed by the PNB in July of 2019, like 6 months before I came onto the board, 6 months before I would have had any knowledge of it, that says we don't do that. We don't have, there aren't, it's forbidding it. And I don't have the text in front of me now. I had been told that we don't do it, but then I heard us doing it on air and on the website, and it was in precisely to try to resolve those discrepancies that I started asking for what the policy is. It's taken 2.5 years to find out, but I guess we've just documented that we're not in compliance with our own policy on that. Not that I don't think that I think we're going to have to find a way to do this, but to do underwriting, and the strategic planning work committee is working on that now. I think if we're going to do it, it's important that we do it right. And just doing it by the seat of the pants in compliance with laws or whatever, and in defiance of Pacifica policy, probably doesn't pass muster. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. I'm going to comment that it's my understanding, and I can be corrected, of course, that what we do on our websites is fair game. We can do straight out advertising if we choose to on our websites. It's when it goes on the air that it becomes an issue, and we that's where we have to be careful. Julie, did you want to say anything about any of the above?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. So we are now actually at time for this item. So why don't we move to the next item, which is set next meeting dates. I allowed 15 minutes for this. I don't think we'll need all of that. But my thinking is we're supposed to have two meetings in September. And I think we should set two special meetings in September. For two reasons. We're going to be undergoing some, you know, I don't want to, as Julia said, you know, we're going to be going through a painful period here, a period of adjustment. And I think we'll need to be on hand to address that. But in addition to that, just coincidentally, at this time of trouble, we're going to be losing the services of NEDA, and we don't yet know exactly what's going to replace that. So the idea would be to have my idea anyways, and I guess I'm moving to this effect, is that we should have a meeting, one meeting every Tuesday through the month of September, and try to get as much budget work and other work done as we can while we still have the wonderful assistance of Julia and her staff at NEDA. So I'll make that the motion, and let's have discussion and see if anybody else wants to shape that or change it or whatever. Nobody?
I'm ready to vote, so I don't know what kind of discussion we need.
Yep.
Well, if our Paul was here, I think we'd hear from him, but that's a rotten thing to say in his
that's
absence.
That's why we could... Go vote. Let's just. I hear no objections. We have Ursula waiting.
Kim, let me chair the meeting. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so I don't hear any discussion. So is there any objection? Hearing none. Thank you very much, everyone. I thought that was going to be harder, and it was, but I think your hearts are all in the right place. That's great. Thank you. All right, I think we're done there. Of course, let me do a housekeeping item here. Fred, this is automatically being recorded, right?
You're getting two. I have two recordings going.
Great. Will you be able to forward that to our Paul so he can work on the minutes?
Yes.
And I'll communicate with him directly about posting the additional meetings. And as per our previous agreement, they will be special meetings, and the meetings that are special meetings won't involve a CFO or executive director reports. They will strictly deal with budgets. Okay. Moving on then to the next item, which is a review of the Pacifica Affiliate Network budget. Julia?
They're calling in right now.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Give me any second.
So, Fred, you'll have a couple of guest calls coming in, or maybe one if they have merged?
Just one call.
Okay. You can let us know, Fred.
I will.
I'll take this moment to say thank you to Fred, our erstwhile streamer. He arranges for all of our call-in numbers and codes, and does all our technical stuff. Thank you, Fred. Been doing it for years.
No problem.
Much appreciated. And while we're waiting, everybody can go to natfinance.com at groups.io and call up the budget, the affiliates budget that we're going to be talking about. Anything yet?
No.
Okay.
They haven't shown up on the Maestro screen.
Okay.
You might text them again.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Where we see this budget?
It's where we see all of our documents. It's NAT, the word finance, com, C-O-M, at groups.io.
It also came in an email at
326. This is Ursula and Ruth. We're here.
Hi.
Hello, Ursula and Ruth.
Coming.
Hello. Thank you.
As a first order of business, I want to apologize. I had previously told Ruth, Ursula, about our policy of taking guests first. Since we may have to go into executive session, we figured we'd do some preliminary stuff before you got here. So I apologize for the delay. Thank you for being here. Just by way of introduction, this is Ruth. I don't know her last name. What's Ruth's last name?
Wiedemeyer.
Okay. She's the business manager, basically. I don't know what other title she may have at the affiliates. And Ursula is our manager of our affiliates unit. Ursula, why don't you, I'm just trying to do your introduction. You do your own introduction. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay.
Just tell us a little bit about the affiliates first.
Oh, my God.
Well, the affiliates are, I think there's, well,
about 200.
There's about 200 affiliates. They are community stations, college stations, low power stations and internet radio stations. And we have a few in Europe and a few in Canada and are making headway into establishing some relationships in Mexico as well currently. And the stations in Europe are England, Switzerland, and France, Paris. And it's a great bunch of people. It's a really cooperative and supportive bunch of people. We meet with them once a week for a roundtable and discuss various issues. And I mentioned to Julia that we've been working a lot on a three-year plan for the program. Like everybody else, we took some hits during the pandemic, and we are focusing with our plan on rebuilding the foundation, rebuilding the network and the business end of it, and are making pretty fast headway, actually. This past week, we brought on three new affiliates. Adding some affiliates is one of our goals. We also raised fees this year for the first time in a while, and we've been getting some good support for that. One of the goals in our three-year plan is to really improve operations in various ways here, and Ruth spent a lot of time this spring improving our contract process so that it is really streamlined, and it's really paying off. We're getting much more rapid signatures this year. It's going really smoothly. The contract also this year for the first time includes internet technology services that we're offering, and we're finding that with it being in the contract that we're getting a pretty consistent flow of new clients for that. So we're building up, our services, and are finding that the improvements we're making are actually really helping operations. So we feel like we're really on the upswing here at the affiliate program. Things are really shaping up pretty rapidly for us, and we're feeling pretty optimistic here.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully we can answer any questions you have. The budget we're submitting is really reflects the fact that we are trying to maintain the value of the network services. So we hope to continue some of the projects that we started on, which include the podcast hosting service and to continue the new service we've been doing for 3 years now. And we are hoping to be able to hang on to all of that because it really adds a lot to the value and the perception of our program as, you know, being a worthwhile service. So meanwhile, AudioPort continues to be an extremely popular service that attracts new clients. And we also get an average of about three new programs a week being offered to the website. So we have a lot of interest in both using the AudioPort and also for producers to use it as a distribution system under the Pacifica brand.
Ursula, could you briefly, for the benefit of the stream and anybody here who needs a little more information, what exactly is AudioPort?
AudioPort is our distribution system. It's a website. All of our program services are web-based, so AudioPort provides thousands of programs that are coming in from Pacifica stations, from affiliate stations, and from independent producers who actually also participate in our network and are kind of less known. But there's a lot of independent production groups that also are distributing on our brand. So it really is a service that leverages content from many, many different sections under our brand. And the website includes programs for download. There's also a stream which allows us to distribute live programming when there's an election night or, you know, something that needs live programming. And that's basically what the website does. It also provides private space on the Pacifica affiliate server for people that want to, store content there and share it with people of their choice.
And that's usable by all of the above parties that you mentioned, including, of course, all of the Pacifica stations.
Yeah, it's very heavily used by Pacifica stations as well, yes.
Great.
But all the affiliates as well, too. The affiliates can download programming independent producers can only upload programs. They cannot download programs. So the download service is for the affiliates.
And where can people go? I want to move on to the matter we're here for, is the budget. But where can people go if they want more information about the affiliates?
PacificaNetwork.org is our website, and there you will see information about who are – there's a map of affiliates. There's information about AudioPort and other services. There's information about the internet technology services we offer. And there are a regular stream of articles about community radio, which keeps the website fresh and Google-friendly.
Great. Okay. Why don't we move into the budget presentation? You've got Ruth here, so I assume she's going to be helping with that. And, of course, we have Julia as well. How do you want to proceed?
We'll defer. Yeah, Julia, maybe we'll defer to you. You had some questions that you thought would be helpful.
Hold on. I need to pull them back up, unless you have them in front of you. They were just some suggestions I had. People might. I'm sorry. I'm having to pull the email back up.
Okay. Well, I'll let Ruth.
First off, the dramatic percentage increase in revenue over the projected fiscal year 22.
And what line is that? Where is that?
Okay, the proposed budget is in orange, the first column, fiscal year 2023, and the estimated actual numbers for the end of fiscal, you know, as of September 30th, 2022, is in column L.
Good.
And the other two columns are also, you know, budget related for fiscal year 22. You can compare our budget from last year with the one from this year and then see what we actually estimate fiscal year 22 to come out as.
And I think you were going to offer some explanation.
Yes, I am. So adding up our with our fee increases and new stations and our internet technology package, which we're offering to possibly up to 30 people so far, that gave me the number, the actual number of all the fees for the affiliates we currently have right now would be $233,000. So the budget I proposed was for $240,000. Looking to pick up some new stations, looking to get more participation, more use of the IT services package. So I think that a $7,000 increase above what our actual fees would total to now is, you know, reasonable growth.
And can you describe what the actual increases in the fees was? The dues, it's the dues and...
Sure. We have categories of... over 500, well, you know, strictly for also for organizational purposes, over $500, 500 being like the minimum we want to, you know, get from our LP station. So over 500, under 500, and then no fees, new stations, startups, et cetera. So, and then the IT package people. So the increase, we did a 5% increase for the over 500 affiliates and about a 20% increase for the under 500 affiliates. We also have gone from, from 35 no fees for 2022, and we've gotten them into a fee structure for 2023. So those,
also for the stations that still can't pay anything, we're charging a $30 processing fee now.
So, and then what my point was is that all those fees projected, the ones we have, not including any new stations, the total of that is $233,000. I have proposed $240,000, a difference of $7,000, to, you know, anticipate anticipate new revenue from affiliates.
And that's about a $50,000 difference over what you're estimating for this fiscal year end.
Yes.
Okay, do you want to just keep going or
Let me just
ask you quickly while you're still on this subject. How long has it been since you last raised your fees?
I don't know. That was before I started on here.
It's been about 10 years.
Yeah, so it was due. I appreciate that.
Can I ask a question, Jim?
A good response to that, too, because we've been so, you know, so helpful to all the affiliates, they really are generally responding in kind, and they're agreeing to this. We haven't had any objections yet to the fee increase.
Kim, I heard you. I just want to ask, I have interrupted them, kind of prompting them to give a little more information. I don't know, Ursula, if you had a prepared presentation that I'm interrupting, or do you want to give your presentation and then take questions, or do you want to kind of go on an ad hoc basis and have a back and forth question and answer?
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I would say was that, you know, last year there was concerns from the Finance Committee about us being able to make our budget. We did make it, and we made the cuts as necessary to meet our budget. So we're committed to that again this year.
Okay. Do you want to just take some questions now?
Sure. Well, Julia had another question. Should I answer that first?
Yeah, go ahead and answer that, and then we'll go to Kim.
Okay. She had written me a list of questions.
Yeah, the written questions. I get it, yeah.
Is the increase in the members net of average lost members, is the increase in members net of average lost members each year? We are gaining members slowly. We started the year at about 198, and we have 205 now. So we just got two more about a week ago. So we have increased you know slowly, and so we do have a net gain. And we answered the Deuce question. None of the dues line item is accounts receivable in the proposed budget. None of the revenue is made up of accounts receivable. Question.
Well, another
go
question
ahead,
was another question
into the stack
also. Kim and Mac, but I hear somebody else trying to speak.
Yeah, I just wanted to answer the question about grants. We did put in anticipated grants. We're pursuing grants at this point. Primarily that's so that we can continue the new service that we offer. It's a really valued new service, and we have a great partner in Pacific in community news. What are they called?
Public
2021 Talks, that's Public News Service. They're sharing the cost equally with us. Actually, they're doing a little bit more than us, but they're a great partner. It's a service that really adds value to our program, and we're just hopeful that we can continue that service this year, and we're committed to trying to find a grant for that. I think there is possibility there because we are working with a really reputable organization as a partner, and it's a very concrete service that can be easily defined. So if we really cannot find money for that, then we're going to have to cut it. But we're really committed to trying not to cut it this year if we don't have to.
Okay. All right, Kim, why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
Well,
thank you for waiting.
My first question is, when are the contracts signed? My understanding is you have them signed before October 1. So we would have a final number by October 1, correct?
Well, theoretically, we are running the contracts now. The truth is that this is the herding cats analogy. We are finding this year, because of the improvements we made, that we're getting a faster response. But to be completely honest, it is a process that usually takes longer because, you know, some people just put at the bottom of their pile on their desk, and then we have to call them and say, send us in that contract.
Yeah, so. Well, except it's not in a pile on their desk. It's all updated the contracts to use eSign now. So literally all they have to do, I mean, you understand what eSign is. And it's fully automated. It sends reminders. It makes it very, like, 1 or 2 minutes to complete this contract, and no need to save or attach or anything like that. So. So we're hopeful, but we've made it as easy as possible. They have.
I mean, we're dealing with community radio stations, so we're trying for October 1st, and we'll do our best. It's not a guarantee that they'll all be in by then.
That was definitely on the form, though, to receive it as of then.
Yeah, but I mean, our experience is that you know, not meeting that deadline doesn't indicate lack of willingness to do it. It just means that some stations need some nudging.
Follow up, Kim?
Yeah, well, to me that means that this number isn't actual yet, number one. Number two, as Julia pointed out, that's $50,000 over this fiscal year. But my other question is, I don't know whether it was Ursula or Ruth said you made your budget this year, and I don't know what that means. It looks like as of now you're like $48,000 in deficit, and you're projecting, $57,000 at the end of this fiscal year. So I'm not sure what you mean by you're making your budget.
What we mean is we're able to pay all our expenses. We're not making the budget. We're able to pay all our expenses.
Well, how can you do that if you have like almost a $50,000 deficit right now? What isn't getting paid?
Pardon me?
Well, you have like an almost $50,000 deficit right now. So what isn't getting paid?
We're paying
your actuals.
These are your actuals. Yeah, but this is, well, our bank account currently has the $16,000 in it. We like to keep a balance of $50,000 minimum, $60,000 really, basically three times your monthly expenses. And so we would, you know, prior to the pandemic, I guess.
Yeah.
Prior to the pandemic, we regularly had a balance of about $60,000. We're running a lot lower now. We are paying everything. We have a lot lower bank balance, you know. It's from previous years.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me, but that's fine.
Sure, what doesn't make sense? I mean, we're not running a negative bank balance. We have the money in the bank. We have the asset. When it comes
to comment,
it's basically the difference between what we normally would have as a balance in our checking account, around $60,000 on average, and now it's a lot less. You know, there's been gains from previous years. That's what as we have been using in part. And also, you know, we basically wrote off $33,000 in, I don't know if they were loans so much as it was money given to the national office. And when we separated the finances, we basically wrote off $33,000 that would have come on our side. So that was kind of our reserve. And
I mean, I think the point partly what Ruth is saying is that we're not jeopardizing our operations in any way. Our operations we're able to pay for our operations.
I think Julia wanted to try to help you answer that. Mac, do you mind if Julia jumps
please.
In on this question?
Oh, yes.